The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you were going to start a home church, how would you do it? And does Isaiah 59:20 say that we must repent of our sins to be saved? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. This is Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. We have a magazine that's also called Grace in Focus. The subscription is free. Find out more about it at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
I'm here with Bob Wilkin and I'm Ken Yates. In our last episode, we had a question from Zach about starting a home church, and I don't know, the trepidation maybe of starting one because they live in an area where there's no Free Grace believers and it's just them, and what would that look like? One of the things we didn't have time to talk about are some of the resources that are available. And Bob, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm seeing a lot of this just recently, and that is that there are things that perhaps, like, for example, if Zach doesn't feel like he's quote-unquote qualified, or not just Zach, anybody. It's only my family, and I'm not a teacher.
Or they need more training.
Right.
And so they're in the process of getting it.
Right. Or
so in the meantime, what do they do?
What do they do? That's right.
And so we do have some resources.
And I think we have a lot of resources.
So what kind of things?
Well, like, for example, you have your Sunday school class.
I teach a Zoom Sunday school class. And we have some people, some missionaries in Mexico that actually attend my class. And we've had people from Europe before that have attended my class. And
I do my Sunday school class on a Zoom.
Okay.
And we have people attend that as well.
Right.
Then we also have all the videos we do. We have
YouTube videos.
We have how many conference presentations do we online?
And you teach a number of Zoom classes, right?
And we teach a couple of Zoom classes a week.
With international people.
Right. You know, I think we average 10 or 12, you know, that come.
And then we have seminary classes, of
course.
Right. And those are free. You just have to, you know, apply and get accepted. And then, as long as you get a B, maintain a B average, those are free.
Right, and it's easy to get a B with me, but Bob's a jerk. So if you take his class, you might not get. I'm just giving you a heads up on that.
I know.
But
so
also,
far, most people are doing very well. You have to work hard to not do well in my class.
Now, the other thing is, there are even some Free Grace guys who record their regular church services, right?
J.B. Bond does that. Bob Bryant does that.
Exactly. And so the point is, if you're in a place that there are no sound Bible teaching churches and you don't feel like, man, I just don't think I could do it, it would be better to simply on Sunday morning sit down with your family and say, let's watch this.
Now, I just did a video. It was a lecture, the sixth lecture. I'm teaching a class on bibliology and ecclesiology this semester. And so I just did the sixth lecture. And I was talking about the importance of the local church as it relates to the judgment seat of Christ. And toward the end, I said, look, it's possible, in my opinion, for a believer to be an open, confessing Christian that's confessing Christ, that's walking in fellowship with God, that's encouraging other believers and being encouraged by other believers, and yet the person never goes to a local church because the person is getting fellowship, whether it's a Zoom class, whether it's a Bible study. It could be a parachurch group like Navigators, Campers Crusade, Young Life, Youth for Christ. All those things provide opportunities for discipleship. Now, you have to make sure the people leading the group are clear on the saving message and clear on Bible doctrine. You know, there's so many opportunities people have. And in my view, if a person is doing what they're supposed to do in the local church, but let's say they're missing out on going to baptisms and they're missing out on the Lord's Supper, it seems to me at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be some consequences for having gone a significant period of time without partaking of the Lord's Supper or without being involved in baptisms. But still, I would think the person could well be an overcomer and rule with Christ in the life to come. And, of course, if you aren't getting the Lord's Supper in any local church, why not just do that in your home?
That's what I was going to say.
Right?
It looks to me like in this situation that Zach is talking about, you could have a combination. You could say we're going to use some of these things for the instruction, but we can have the Lord's Supper.
At least once a month.
In our own home.
Yeah, and you could say as far as baptism, when his kids get old enough and come to faith in Christ, go ahead and baptize them.
Sure.
Whether it's in your bathtub or your pool or a river or a lake or whatever it is, even if that's the only baptism your kids ever see, at least they'll see that. Of course, when they grow up, they in turn will baptize their own kids, and they in turn will be involved in other people in hopefully a home church.
Yeah, I tell you, I just want to encourage Zach and everybody. There's a lot of good material out there. There really is. I mean, you'll never run out.
Right. You know. If you think what we're doing here is good stuff.
Well, it is. Well, the stuff GES is doing, all those. I mean, you can go back years. I mean, I don't know how far back, like, our conferences go back.
The first one we had was 95.
Well, there you go. What's that?
Well, it'd be 30 years.
Yeah, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff out there. So, yeah, I would encourage them to do that. So we wanted to add that on to our last episode.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
You have a question about passage in Isaiah.
Yeah, this person named FH says, does not Isaiah 59:20 teach that Jesus only came for those who repent from their sin? If it doesn't, how is this verse to be understood?
Well, let me answer that real quick. The answer is no.
The answer is no. That's correct. Right away. And we know it because the only condition is to believe in him, the giver, for the gift of God, which is everlasting life.
And this is a good lesson here. If you read a verse wherever, like in Isaiah, and it's talking about repentance and turning from your sin, you know it's not talking about what was required of anybody ever to receive eternal life.
Right. Even if you don't know what it means,
exactly.
You know what it doesn't mean.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's the quote of Isaiah 59:20 from the New King James. The Redeemer will come to Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem,
right.
the city of God. And to those who turn from transgression in Jacob.
Jacob is Israel, right? So you got Zion and Jacob. Don't say the church there.
Right.
Right.
And it says the Lord. So the point here is the Redeemer, which is the Messiah, he's coming to Jerusalem and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, which is really all of Israel. Now, the question is, why does it say this? Well, the issue here is not regeneration. This says nothing about regeneration. What this is talking about is the kingdom coming for Israel. Remember in Matthew 23, the end of the chapter, verses 37 to 39, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. The kingdom could have come in the first century. And if you read Mark 1, which I know you're writing a commentary on Mark, verses 14 and 15, both John the Baptist and Jesus were preaching the good news of the kingdom.
Kingdom of God, right.
And they were saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order for the kingdom to come, it wasn't enough for a few Jews to come to faith in Christ, or even a few thousand Jews come to faith in Christ. There had to be national faith and national repentance. Because they had to not only be believers, but they had to be in fellowship with God.
God was not going to bring the kingdom until the nation was in fellowship with him.
Right.
Exactly.
And that'll occur at the end of the tribulation. But until that happens, the Redeemer is not coming to Zion. And you get the same thing in Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. The triumphal entry was the Messiah, the Savior, coming into Jerusalem, but verse 10 has not yet been fulfilled because Israel is not yet a nation in fellowship with God. And there is a day coming when that will occur. So, FH, it's a good question, but keep in mind, if a passage isn't talking, I like to talk about the condition and the consequence. If the condition is not faith alone, you know you're not dealing with an everlasting life passage. And if the context is not everlasting life or the equivalent, like justification or being a child of God forever, then you're not dealing with an everlasting life or a saving message passage.
And I would also say, just to build upon that, don't be afraid to say it. You know, if there's a passage or verse, you say, well, I don't know what this verse is saying, but as you said earlier, Bob, I know it doesn't mean this.
Right.
And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. You can say, well, this is talking about turning from sin and everything, so I know it's not talking about eternal life.
And by the way, that's how I came to faith. A friend of mine came to me and said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? So as a result of that, I went to a meeting at his college, University of Southern California, and heard a Campus Crusade speakers, three different guys, and it intrigued me. It sounded like easy believism, cheap grace, but I thought, I wonder if they could be right. So I contacted Campus Crusade for Christ at my college, and we didn't even have campus staff. We only had athletes and action staff. So a guy named Warren Wilkie agreed to meet with me. So I met with him. I said, I don't have assurance. I want to have assurance. And he showed me Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That sounded too easy to me. And I said, well, what about James 2, 14 to 26? He gave me some answer, and then he said, but whatever that means, it can't contradict, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I asked him about Hebrews 6. He gave a short answer. Whatever it means, it can't contradict Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It lasted for five meetings over 5 days, and at the end of the fifth meeting, or the middle of the fifth meeting, I believed it. I got
right,
it.
Right.
And I knew I was saved once and for all, simply by faith, apart from works.
That must have been a great feeling.
It was a great feeling, and let me tell you.
Because you grew up in a very legalistic
sinless
cult.
Perfection
right,
cult.
Right.
You know, the truth is, I've never lost sight of that. Like you say, even if you don't know what a verse means, you know it can't contradict
right.
John 3:16 or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Stand on the clear, simple scripture. So, FH, don't worry about what Isaiah 59:20 means. You can learn it, but make sure you know that John 3:16 is the ground we stand upon.
Right. Even when you read something like Isaiah 59:20, you say, I know I have eternal life because I believed in him for it.
Amen.
Well, thank you for this question, and until we meet next time,
keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, does Roman Catholicism teach works salvation? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.